you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And I'm very excited today because I have a dear friend, and we actually chatted a little bit yesterday, and I realized it's been well over 20 years, and we haven't talked much in the last couple of years, so we had a chance to catch up a little yesterday. John Burley, thank you so much for being with me today, John.
My extreme pleasure, Sharon. Yeah, I'm really excited about your movement.
Well, just to give you a little background, I met John back at the very early days of Rich Dad, and I've got a written resume, but I'm going to actually talk about it from a personal perspective, because he is a true real estate investor. Now, there's a lot of people out there teaching real estate investing, but his number one focus is real estate investing, and in his resume talks about that. But his number one focus from a personal perspective is being a great husband and a great father. And I've seen his kids grow up, and they've become incredible young adults. And John has always, one of the things that you and I have in common, I'm going to bring up a little bit later, is he's never been focused on being a celebrity. He's been focused on building a strong, viable business. And he's been into the money side of things for a long time, but also focused on building a real estate empire. And when we talk about Play Big, it's not just doing the deals, but creating the systems to make the deal so that it can be repeatable. And once he built the systems, then teaching others how to do it. And it's not just a course to teach it, but to actually, he has, calls it a boot camp, where actually helps people do it in process and mentoring them through it. And so, John, I really want to applaud you, because you know, there's a lot of people out there teaching things that they don't really do themselves. And of all the people I know, you definitely walk the talk. So thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Sharon. Kind words. Appreciate it.
So talk a little bit about early John, because you were a Wall Street guy and ended up, talk about that transition. How did you get into real estate initially?
Yeah, I started selling door to door when I was 6 years old, and did door to door sales most of my young life, and sold all kinds of things, fruit and brushes and vacuum cleaners and insulation. And really always wanted to do the real estate. I remember being a little kid, my favorite games were Monopoly and playing bank, and kind of denied it. So I did the real estate a little bit part-time. I got into the financial planning because it was the one in that era, one of the great sales jobs where they actually, the more you produced, the more you got paid. My very short stint in corporate sales, I set some amazing records, and I was rewarded by having my cut three times. Because I made too much money. I remember one meeting where they're going like, do you think it's right that you make more than the managers? It's like, yes. and it's like, and don't you all make a percentage off of me? What is the problem? And so I learned a lot of foundational things, a lot of roots, learned a lot about who I was and who I wasn't. I'm definitely not a very good employee, so I don't do that. The financial side really gave me a numbers background and an understanding. There's good and bad in the quote unquote Wall Street financial planning world, I think, like any business. But they really understood how to monetize. They understood how to make money for them really, really well. And then there was just a small percentage, just about 2% of works in what's called private equity. And I'm talking about the ones that really work, where it's foundationally almost all of the earnings are based off of performance. Most of them don't even have trail fees. There's an entrance fee to get in. And after that, if they make money, they get a big chunk of it. If they lose money, they share and paper on the losses, and cash out they share. And so the onus really is to stop the normal adversarial. It's like in real estate, it's an adversarial relationship for most people. Property manager's dream would be you buy a rental house, they rent it out, 3 months later, the tenant trashes the house, moves out, and they have to go to court, because then there's all sorts of things they can do to generate fees. Where you as the investor, your dream would be, hey, the people move in, pay above market rent, and stay for 10 years. And so what I learned from that primarily was two things. First of all, how to raise money to take the cap and the limitations off of real estate investing. Because to me, real estate investing is about money, not about real estate. It's not that hard to find a good deal if you have money. The problem is for most people, they only for a few deals or no deals, and then they're done. And then they're trying to do the really creative things, which do work. It's just you can't do them every day, all the time, and they don't all you might want to do.
So what we do is we strive to follow that model. We don't charge any fees at all. It's all based on how I think it should be, is a non-adversarial relationship. Our job is to make our clients as much money as we possibly can. And by doing that, we make ourselves a much larger share than just fees. And it just gets everybody aligned. And when we do the education, which, as you know, Sharon, I don't travel the world anymore like the old days. I don't run around the country doing an event every weekend. It's just not what I want to do. Is we just teach our model. And I think the couple things that are very unique about what we teach, although they don't sound unique, but as you know, in the business, they are, is first of all, we understand that real estate investing is not foremost about real estate at all. Real estate is just the asset class I use because it's my favorite. What we teach is that, first of all, it's entirely about money and understanding money, understanding how returns are generated, understanding that what most people look at usually is wrong, which should make sense because most people don't end up rich. So obviously you don't want to do what they do. And then the other thing is that I always looked at this because of my background and training is this was a business. And most people that I see go into real estate or quite frankly, any investment, including being in businesses, they don't really get that it's a business they're running. I mean, they think real estate investing is investing, and it's not. If you want to invest, call a guy like me and have him place your money. Go buy a REIT or a mutual fund. That's investing. But if you own just one rental property, you have, and unfortunately for most people, who you just hired as your effective CEO of your company is a property manager who in most cases became a property manager because they failed utterly and totally at sales. And that's who's in charge of your company. It's a bad model.
We just do
it how it should be. I mean, there's a reason why there's all those nightmares about property managers. No offense to the great ones. There are some that I know, but for most, they became a property manager because they needed something to generate some income because they couldn't make any sales. And so what we just do is we look at the model very, very differently. We look at it as a business. I actually went out about 20 years ahead of my brethren from Wall Street. Most of them started the funds and the institutional people in 9, 10, 11. They started buying residential single family home estate. And we actually started doing it in 1989. We all knew that the single family made a higher rate of return than the commercial and the multi-units. I mean, it's just simple math. I mean, anybody looks at it, you can deny it all day long, but I mean, you know, they're in a place like Phoenix right now, they're fighting for 5.5%, 6%, 5% rates of return, and we don't buy a deal that doesn't make 25. So it's just a completely different model. There was a lot of systems and a lot of work, and fortunately for my investors and for my students, is I figured that crud out about 25 years ago. But it did take us a few years to really learn the systems. I remember going to property management courses, and it's like, okay, so what you're really teaching me to do here is you're teaching me how to screw the investor out of money wherever I can. The problem is that I'm the investor, so you're teaching me how to nickel and dime and gouge me. Because people think property management is like 8 to 10%, and it's not. It's about 35. It's about 25% for all the costs and about 8 to 10% for property management. So it's really a 35% cost. And internally, we hold ours right at 18%. And people go, well, why? It's like, well, because I manage it as if I'm the owner, because I am. Because half of all those properties that I have with an investment partner are mine, so I have to really, truly lower cost, raise income streams.
So you made a couple of comments that I want to highlight, because I want to underline them with triple lines. And that is, you know, real estate investing is a business. When I talk about asset classes, I'm investing in real estate. You are in the real estate business. And whether you own one property or 20, you need to handle it as a business. And part of what John offers and what he does is the system. So you made that comment as well. The systems on how to do it, you know, it's kind of a rinse and repeat. And once you figure out how to do it and you do it well, And that's where it's important to realize if you want to play big, you need to have the ability to scale. And you scale through systems. And John, I know Absolutely. Over the years, we're talking about 35 years of this, certainly the last 25 years in a big way, your system changes based on what's happening in the industry, but the basic underlying model stays the same, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our end result has always been the same. So we're not a month investment company. You know, so like the last several years, everybody's been flipping. So you could be pretty confident that that is not what we do. When everybody's doing it, you bring in what we call amateur hour, people who don't know what they're doing. The numbers get inflated. There's a lot of hiring to go way, way down. I think, you know, one of the person I admire most is Warren Buffett. And I can remember in the early 90s, a mutual friend of ours encouraged me to buy one share back when he only had the Class A shares because he didn't. Oh, it wasn't open to the media back then. You couldn't get a copy of it. It was literally, you know, you spent, I think it was like, I don't remember what it was, 180, 190,000. It was crazy for one share, basically to buy the newsletter. Mm-hmm. And he's just always been a contrarian and always looked at everything in a business model, not at the industry, always looked at extraordinary long holding period. I mean, right now, and we do a volume business because the second phase was, you know, make it a business, have the systems. And the other thing is that take the shackles off. So I understand my brethren in real estate investing. For most of them, you know, it's 2 deals, 5, it's 10. At some point, the bank says no more and or they're out of down payment monies. And they're stuck. They're looking for creative financing deals, which absolutely work. However, you can't do big volume like we like to do. You can't buy thousands of properties in that manner, in a realistic manner. And so we took the shackles off by bringing in all the money we needed. I mean, we've raised a little over $600 million over the years, which gave us the ability to buy a massive portfolio, really test the systems, really put them into effect, and then just to create massive, massive cash flow. And, you know, on a, people go, what do we do? On a simple single-family home here in Arizona, which is just a little under $200,000, would be a Class B investment-grade house. Right now we make $220,000 on a 10-year period, which is a lottery earned, and very much of it is not fully autopilot, but very much of it is very systematized to have very little work involved on the ongoing basis. So we don't want to flip a property and make 10 or 20 or 30 or even 50,000. We do occasionally, but it's just because it doesn't fit our model. We're looking for the specific asset that fits right into our model. We don't deviate. I was having a conversation earlier today. People were like, oh, well, you got to have multiple streams of income and you got to diversify. And I was like, okay, can you name one person that you've ever met that got rich, diversified, or doing multiple streams? And he's like, oh, well, everybody does. And I go, no, I asked you to name one because you and I know that's not how people got rich.
You pick a niche.
Many of my clients, they pick a niche, they do it extremely well. Many of my clients diversify into real estate today who are rich with someone like me. And the reason they do it is today they have more time, they have more money rather than time. And so the time's more valuable, so they'll give me the money to place it for them and do it for them. They don't have to do the work. But they don't have, you know, seven streams of income that made them rich. They may have more streams today, but it's not how they got rich. They had one basket, they watched it really, really well, and they made it grow.
And that's something, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I did a podcast on making sure that you pick a lane, stay in that lane, become an expert in that lane and build your expertise, become the authority. And certainly, John, you've become the authority in this and the importance of cash flow. I can't underline enough, anybody that's listened to me or studied anything I do, it is, you know, the valuation of the asset may go up and down, but if you buy it right and you've got that monthly cash flow, how many properties can you get if you've got a positive cash flow? As many as you can find, right? And,
we literally, you're so right, Jeremy. When we look at the factors around the acquisition of a piece of property, almost always, and for people who don't understand what the game really is, they don't get this, and there'll be some people listening to going like, oh, that's crazy. Almost always, the least important factor of our acquisition is the price of the property. It's the least important. I'm looking at what we call the spread. I'm looking at the difference between my debt service, which would be the loan, property taxes, insurance, all the true maintenance costs, and then my income. And I'm looking to make that spread as large as possible. And then that's, you know, it's a simple equation based on the ratio based on my entry. how much money I have to put in. Because obviously, if you buy a house for $100,000, use a simple number. Although some of my investors certainly do, most aren't buying it for $100,000 cash. Most are putting in today's world 20 or 25% down. They're financing the difference. And so we're looking at the spread, which gets a far rate of income. And so, you know, we're in an area where we've had extremely low interest rates. I know some people without a historical perspective, oh, well, John, interest rates have gone up. Yeah, and they've gone up to what is still just about the lowest rate you've ever seen in your life.
That's right. That's right.
I cut my teeth in this business. FHA loans were 19% when I started.
Yes.
From 81 to 93, it was in excess of 10%. I remember we still drank back then. I remember in 1993 when the rates dropped to 9.75%. Sherry and I popped two bottles of Dom Perignon that night because yes. I had never in my investment career seen sub 10%.
Yeah.
I grew up in an era where it is like in kind of a condescending manner. Well, it wasn't kind of, it was very condescending. One of my original mentors, he was like, you know, boy, if you can't make money at 10%, go get a job at a grocery store.
That's right.
And he did, and he meant it in a very insulting way, meaning you're so worthless and pathetic at 10%, you can't make money. And unfortunately, you know what, just a few years ago, we saw a generation of real estate investors go bankrupt at 6 and 7%. So it's just understanding, you know, we've got record low interest rates, we've got rent that, and no matter what dynamic you put in for cost of living, no matter, you know, the time value of money, it really doesn't matter. We've got rents in most places that are at so far beyond historic levels, and there's room for them to continue to grow. I was at a meeting last night, you know, we're in Phoenix, just consistently 6% annual growth on the rents, which, you know, almost 6%, that's not a big deal. That's a 6% increase of a leveraged position on your money that you're able to pass on annually over and over and over again. Now, most landlords don't raise their managers, don't raise rents because they're afraid the tenant will move. It'll be extra work. We raise the rents annually. We do it. We have so many properties. We do it in two drops where we, two trenches where half the rent increases 1 month and then half of them 6 months later. But we raise rents every year because it just massively increases the income. And when I look at numbers in real estate, I look at everything on a 10-year timeline. So for example, most people are like, well, it's only $100 a month rent increase. It's not that much. I'm like, well, wait, it's 100 times 12. That's $1,200 times 10 years. That's $12,000. That's a lot of money.
I want to also underline what you just said, the 10-year timeline. So we're talking about a buy and hold strategy. So yeah, you got to do a lot of work up front, but then you're doing it for a long-term period of revenue. And that revenue continues to grow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We you know, in our model that we teach, there's an upfront fee that the client pays. It's the only fee. It's about $10,000 per property. That gives operation money for us today. That just continues the operations. For new students, that gives them eating, you know, living money. You know, you do 5-6 deals your first year, you make $50,000-$60,000. The pressure to try and flip and force a deal is gone. It's now just buying a good long, you know, when I look at people in this era, when I work with people who are really wealthy, very successful investors, you know, there's six primary things that they look at. You know, the first one is safety and security. They want the investments to be safe. They don't want to lose money. And I know you, Mike, and I have had these conversations. It's like the first thing is we don't lose any money. You know, the next thing that we look at is the long term. We're not looking for short-term placement at the highest possible taxes because we have money and we're already at the max rate. We don't want short-term stuff. And our time is more valuable than the money. We don't want the quick buck. We want to put money in and have it grow for the long term. Yeah, the next one, it's a word that you and I are both very much endeared by, is cash flow. The idea that we're going to make things cash flow for decades on everything we do. We maximize tax benefits, which... love them or not, and it's a pretty volatile lightning rod these days, so we won't even touch it. The new tax reform act that went into effect, that's in effect for this year, is significantly in favor of real estate investment. Mm-hmm. Set up properly as a business, you know, a $300 property gets a $45,000 first year tax deduction. There's a lot of things that are available, so it's a superb, you know, investment, you know, and then the outlook for long-term growth, but it's not the most important thing. And then they just want a good, solid to great rate of return. And so that's what we really focus on. Firsty, safe and secure. I think the one thing I really learned on the Wall Street side, but I don't think Sharon and I really, really got it till about 15 years ago, is that as the founder and the CEO of a private equity company, my job is not number one to be creative, to make these massive rates of return. We do, but that's not my job. My job is to mitigate, reduce, and do everything humanly possible to eliminate risk. And if I do that, I'll get my great rates of return.
And when you look at the, we talk about mentoring, you want a mentor who's going to help you mitigate risk, somebody who's been where you want to go. And that's one of the beauties of what, John, you offer to the people that work with you, because you've got that incredible depth of experience, and you have the opportunity to, you've probably had everything happen to you with real estate at some point in the time. So you know how to deal with it. I talk about high emotions, low intelligence, but when you've been through it, you can kind of get through it a little easier, right?
Yeah. You have a historical perspective. We tell students all the time, what they think is the biggest disaster of their career to us is like, well, welcome to Tuesday morning. And the reason we say welcome to Tuesday morning is for two reasons. First of all, it's routine to us with our portfolio size. And the second thing, Tuesday morning is Mondays we devote entirely to making it rain, creating income. So Monday, literally, with the exception of two people on my team, on Monday, people aren't allowed to open email and return voicemails and put out other people's little mini fires. Monday, their job is to, these are the 3 to 5 things I do that make the most money for the company. I do those Monday morning. So literally one of my disciplines is, my calls to raise money are done Monday morning every week. Get the monkey off my back before he becomes the 800-pound gorilla. And then Tuesday, when we take care of all those things, and for us, because of the systems and the sheer repetition and the massive volume of deals we've done, Tuesday, it's just not that big a deal. We're not all upset. We don't get emotionally involved. I get asked all the time, John, why don't you do a real estate reality show? And I go, it'd be the most boring show in the world. Nobody ever watch it. We buy a property. Things go wrong, all within the parameters that we had planned on. Nobody yells, nobody cries, nobody screams. We don't lose any money. All the problems are fixed within the system, and it goes into the model, and we make money, and then we buy another, and we do the same thing. We buy another, and do the same. It would be the most boring show in the world, which, as you and I know.
Most successful businesses fall into that category because they've created all of them. A system, and they're kind of turnkey, and they're running, and they're operating, and they're throwing off cash. Same thing with what you've created in real estate. So, John, if somebody wants to connect with you, find out a little bit more about your boot camps, how can they find you?
Yeah, a couple of ways. They can go to johnburley.com, so johnburley.com. They can call our offices at 623-561-8246. There's also John Burley Real Estate Investing on Facebook, with like a discussion forum, a group, and a lot of activity there. And would love to talk with them, help them out. Sharon, I am so proud of you. What you're doing right now, and playing big, others play big and go to the next level is just amazing. And sincerely, my friend, I'm happy for you, because I know this inspires you, not just others, but you, and it makes you happy. And so I love seeing that. So, Thank you for what you do on behalf of everybody else.
We're going to go into another little session for the insider group of the Playbook group on Facebook. And we're going to go into a little bit more about your own personal habits, because I really want to, as I introduced you, John, and I want to end with this, because you really have made a commitment, and you live a commitment to your family first. And that's, of course, something that's very important to me as well. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but again, the fact that it's not, I teach, are you building a celebrity brand or a mission brand or business? And we talked about that a little bit. And you made a conscious decision along the way, because you were starting to build the celebrity side of John Burley and traveling a lot. And you really made a decision to focus on building the business side. So speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, everything in life is a choice. We're not victims. I mean, we all have stuff happen to us. We all got a different starting point. Some of us, you and I, were blessed with parents that stayed in long marriages, that worked hard to give things to their children. We've done the same as parents. But the reality is, we make a choice of what we want. And I never wanted to be famous, but I always wanted to be rich. And so Marcus has been on building first my relationship with God, then a great, great family, and then building the business, leaving something far better than when I showed up. And that's just been the side for me. And then I don't want this to come off wrong towards anybody, because it's not intended that way. The reality is, if you really know what you're doing, especially in my medium of investments, there is so much phenomenally more money available doing the business than teaching people how to do it. No matter what I charge people, it's nothing compared to when I've got a property. I mean, all I have to do is do one property, I made $220,000. So it's a far better model. And so my true passion and my true love, although I love teaching and sharing, it's been running the business and building the business. And we wrote the books and we did a lot of audio programs and different to help others and pass that on. But really what we love is just doing the business. It's fun to teach the model. I like doing it part-time, but that's all I'm going to do. And you never want to say never, because I got Sean Connery on a Bond movie. Never say never again. But I really don't see us ever going out and doing the big global national education that we used to do. It just, for where I'm at and what I do, it took away way too much from my family, and it took way too much away from my business. And those are the things I'm more passionate about and I love the most. So
the level of success you have gives you more time for the family. And I know you just got back from a great trip to Scotland, and to see your daughter who was in Oxford for the summer. So, I mean,
oh yeah,
to have successful businesses gives you that kind of flexibility.
Absolutely, and it's long-term staying power. Everybody's subject to the market moves. However, if you understand and have historical perspective, which we do, you can see what's coming way before it comes. That, from my point of view, the more volatility in the marketplace, the more I make. I mean, the best thing that happened to our company was the last crash. I know everybody else went broke. We didn't survive. We thrived and then came out and did the second largest round of acquisitions we'd ever done while prices were low. So it's just, it's knowing what's going on, having a lot of historical perspective. It's why people gain so much from working with you. You've been down that road before them. You know what they need to do. Things that upset the world, you look at and go, huh, that's happening again, fourth time. But it's not
right.
New.
That's right. Where's the opportunity, right? And whenever there's a problem, there's always an opportunity, and you need to be able to.
Yeah, I wish they'd change the tax laws every year. I wish they'd send interest rates through the roof. I wish the market crashed, because those are all nothing but good news to someone who knows what they're doing.
And for everybody listening and watching this, John did bring up the change in the tax law this year. Make sure you're getting the right advice, because there are significant changes when it comes to real estate. You want to take advantage of all of them. And, you can't, I don't even do my own taxes, even though that's one of my areas of expertise, because it's changing so fast. Have the right people helping you, the right mentors, the right tax specialists, to make sure you're getting every opportunity available. So thank you so much.
There was
I'm
a lot
so
of
happy
big,
to have you today.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're going to hang in here. We're going to go into the private Facebook group for a few more minutes. But thanks so much, and love to your family.
Thank you, Sharon. Same to you.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.